Welcome to the Reality Show Life Coach Podcast, the only podcast that brings on weekly guests to drop self-help wisdom on the casts of popular reality shows like The Bachelor. I'm your host, Lynn Grogan. I am a certified life coach who helps people escape the status quo and live a fulfilling life on their own terms. Let's go.
It's a reality show, whoa, Life Coach with Lynn Grogan.
All right. Welcome back to the Reality Show Life Coach Podcast. Today, we're going to talk about Love is Blind, Season 6, Episodes 7 and 8. And with me today, I have special guest Samantha Siffring. Samantha, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Hello, everyone. I'm Samantha Siffring. I'm a business coach. I'm also the host of the Simple Online Business Podcast and recently published a book called Copy That Compels, all about writing your own content and marketing. And I am also a reality TV super fan. So any opportunity I have to come on a podcast and talk about something totally different than business in the reality TV space, I am jumping all over. So thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Well, it was so fun because, you know, when I have guests on, I start exploring their work in more depth. And I was like, oh my God, this is all the materials I didn't like know I needed ahead of time. Cause I know of you, but I hadn't dug in. And I was like, oh, so thank you in that regard, because now I have new listens as well.
Great.
But tell me, like, what is your history watching Love is Blind? I know you're a super fan.
Yeah. So I have been watching since the very beginning. And actually, when I first started watching it, it was a day that I was supposed to fly out of town to go to a coach conference that was then canceled because of COVID. And I was like, about to leave to go to the airport, got the notification it was canceled, and like set down my suitcase and got on the couch and started watching Love is Blind season one. And have watched every season as it's come out ever since and really enjoy it.
That sounds similar to mine, because I was like, well, definitely it was during COVID. Definitely I've watched every episode. I was like, what is this? And I was like, oh, I am hooked. So
yes.
Yes. And I would say, I don't know about you, but I was like, oh, they're leaning more into reality TV. I'm like, this was probably the most train wrecky. I can think of a couple other seasons that were, yeah. But this one, they're like leaning into like the dumpster fire things that are happening. So,
yes. Yeah. It feels a little less of the, we're trying to have genuine relationships succeeding coming out of this, and more like, this can propel your career. So I think that's kind of disappointing to see that happening. And I hope that they're able to kind of curb some of that, because it felt so unique at the beginning.
Oh, it definitely did. Because I feel like this season, they're like, fine, we'll give you Amy and Johnny. You should be happy with that. And everybody else, well, we'll see. Because I mean, you hear rumors on other seasons of like, oh, there were other couples that got together and had a love story and et cetera. So I don't know. Yeah, I was also hoping that they would stay more on the love track, because I watched all the other ones and I was like, but this one seemed different, and now it is just the same. So what are you going to do? Well, anything else on your mind before we jump in to the juicy details of these episodes?
I don't think so. I'm ready to dive in.
Yes. Okay. Well, okay. So as a reminder, in episodes 7 and 8, we start in the Dominican Republic. They're still in vacation mode. They're still seemingly evaluating each other to see if they want to stay together, but most of them seem very committed, or at least mentally. And then in episode 8, we return to Charlotte, North Carolina, where they're with their friends, family, jobs, and most importantly, for some of them, their phones. So we're back in the day-to-day life. Well, let's dive right in. Probably Dominican Republic makes sense. Was there anything in particular from this episode that just like sticks in your brain?
Yeah, I think this episode, it seemed like we started to get some things coming up that would then grow in the next episode. I'm thinking about Clay starting to reveal his, I'm afraid to cheat. I'm worried about how I'm going to be in a relationship with just one woman. That I think that was the first time that we had heard him talk about that. And then the conversation between Kenneth and AD. And you could just kind of see him processing that. I think that may have happened on the prior episode when they had the conversation, but then this is where you could start to see a little fallout from it in that, in the Dominican Republic episode. So those are the main things that really stuck out to me in this episode, that we were just starting to see some cracks in some of these relationships.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too, because it's like, now they're like, okay, we're together. I've gotten over the initial shock of seeing you. And now I'm trying to really see you. I'm trying to see how we would be together. I'm trying to ask you like hard questions without being like maybe more of an interrogation, but they're like, I want to know like how you're going to fight with me. I want to know what your day-to-day life is like. And of course, like at this stage of their relationship, everybody's putting their best foot forward or trying to. And so it's like, how are you supposed to both evaluate, but also, you know, decide, make a huge decision about what comes next. So, well, maybe let's, do you want to talk about Clay first in that whole scene with AD? So what I grabbed from that scene, that you were talking about, Samantha, was, Clay and AD are, well, he's having some slurpy soup on the beach and she's having her salad, and he just dives into like, you know, he talks about like not wanting to let her down, not wanting to be that guy. And for AD, she's like super shocked in this scene because it seems like it comes out of left field. And even just rewatching that, I thought I would see something different, but I was like, no, like she is super shocked that he is like revealing these things. You can kind of tell that she's trying to hold back a little bit and listen, but I think she's also maybe freaking out a little bit. I don't know. Did you pick up on that at all?
Yeah. Yeah. I thought so too. It seemed like one of those moments where you're like smiling and nodding, like, yeah, I'm trying to look normal. And inside you're like trying to process something really shocking. It seemed like she was really trying to figure that out. And then he starts stacking the plates and she just looks like even more like, what is happening right now?
Well, absolutely. Because, you know, I think, and I mean, maybe they talked about this in the pods, but it seemed like it was new information for her. It was like less about sharing information, like, hey, I just want to tell you about my family history with my dad cheating, and more about like, and now I'm worried that I have some of the same, you know, qualities in me. I'm not sure, but I've never seen like a healthy relationship. I've never seen like a, you know, anyone who hasn't cheated on their partner before. And now I'm like, I am afraid that this is even a thought in my head. And she's like agreeing, like, yes, I am also afraid that this is a thought in your head.
And this to me felt like a pod conversation. So I don't know, maybe it was edited. It didn't seem like it was edited out from her reaction. It seemed like this was the first time she was hearing it, but I don't know what good reason he would have for not bringing it up in the pods, because people do get really deep in the pods typically about family trauma and relationship history and all of that. It is hard to not look at it and think it was an intentional leaving out of information on his part to be able to progress further in the process. So it to me feels like another red flag against Clay.
Why do you think he brought it up now and maybe he didn't bring it up on the pods?
So I wonder, I don't know why he would have brought it up now versus later or never, but I wonder if you bring it up in the pods, do you worry that the person's going to break up with you and go with someone else? And then you don't get as much screen time and potential to, like, he's an entrepreneur, grow your business.
Right.
Or just like your fame. So that's kind of what I wondered. Like, do you get edited out of the show or less screen time if you reveal something like that earlier on in the pods versus later on or never?
Oh, that is fascinating. I actually never thought about it from that point of view, but I'm surprised I didn't, because I've watched The Bachelor so many times where they really hold their cards in and it's just like, okay. And also Clay seems so clueless about the whole show in general.
Yeah.
But yeah, like it does make me wonder though, like why in that moment I'm like, is he just like, whatever this is on my mind, I'm going to share this with you? Or like, I was kind of wondering like what type of conversation he was hoping to have by putting that out there.
Yeah.
That's what I was wondering. Cause she doesn't necessarily pick it up.
Yeah. Did he even think about it? Because I could also see maybe you just get like swept up in everything in the pods and then you get engaged. It's so exciting. And then when you're on this vacation, it starts to sink in. Wait, I'm engaged. That's leading to a wedding. I actually have all of these reservations about getting married and marriage itself that I didn't think about before. Like, I'm not somebody who wouldn't think multiple steps down the road. So it's hard to relate to somebody who's like so in the moment, but that's also possible that it just like came up and he was like, well, this is my partner. I'm going to share.
Well, I wonder too, is if, you know, and I think I've seen many, many different places online, people talking about how basically they put AD into the role of like his therapist, essentially, like, oh, you're an extension of all of this like self-help that I seem to want in my life right now.
Yeah.
And so maybe it was just kind of like, oh, okay, well, I'll bring this to you. Maybe we can make sense of it, which I don't think is wrong. Like, it's not like it's a bad thing to want to talk about that with your partner. This is where I would want somebody to bring me the doubts. You know, I would want somebody to bring that, but it's also such a tender place and there's so much pressure. So it's like, I agree with you. I don't know that he thought through how she was going to receive that information, but how would you help Clay in this situation? Or like, what would you say that could be like helpful for him? Cause obviously this is his biggest roadblock to actually moving forward with AD in the relationship.
Yeah. I think the thing I struggle with in something like this is I just consistently see people go on these shows who have so many unresolved issues with relationships. I think Chelsea is another strong example in this cast of somebody who I think has a lot of past trauma that has led to them showing up the way that they do in relationships. And it's easy to label them a bad person. And I've seen that online so much. These people get so much hate. And I just know the inner workings, they are so less aware, most likely, of how they show up in a relationship than it seems like they are. And like, oh, why would you not like go to therapy and resolve some of this stuff before you're having a international audience watch all of your worst patterns play out? So well, I think my advice is like, don't go on the show.
Right. Don't go on the show. Yeah. Like we've over on our a little beach over here been talking about that. Like, oh no, like more evaluation is needed. Please, please. Yeah. And I wonder in his case, if it's just like, you don't know what you don't know. Like he started saying it out loud and he's like, oh, he seems shocked a lot of the times. So like, I can't believe this has impacted me in this way. And I think what makes it hard too, is like, once you're on a show like this, you're in, you signed a contract, you don't get an out.
Yeah.
It's and too like, late. It's too late. And I do wonder about the long-term damage that some of these cast members have, because now they've identified they need to work on this, but they're having like this moment in the public where it's like, oh no, I've got to deal with this. This is flying at me. I am in, you know, like total survival mode, trying to handle getting a death threat, right? Trying to handle all these other things.
Yeah.
I can imagine that that kind of layers on the trauma where you're like, well, now I don't want to look at that because every time I think about it, I think about the show and I think about what happened to me. And So, Clay talks a lot about working with a therapist. And I know like he has mentioned that now and well, we can just say like in present episodes and stuff too. I'm glad that he has somebody for that because this could have been kind of a make or break kind of situation.
Yeah. And he also, since you mentioned it, has mentioned that he's now seeking out role models that have healthy relationships that he can look up to. And I think ultimately that's the best move, because if it's something that you can't even picture because you haven't seen it modeled, figure out how to be able to picture it if that's what you really want. And I think people are able to break cycles. You know, there's so many people, I think, especially in this generation, who just have more awareness of these family cycles and generational cycles that they want to break. And there's so much more support and so many more resources for that now. So I'm glad he's seeking it out. I think that's the best move for him.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that too, because I had like in my little notebook, I was like, oh, he has a vision board. And I just
that
think
was
he
so
did
adorable.
Know.
I loved it.
I love that he like and this is like in the scene where he's showing AD around his home. He's just like, yes, my vision board. Like he's so excited and proud of it. I was like, I love that. And I think that's such a good point though for him, is just like he didn't know that he needed role models in that area. And I think again, it's like you don't know what you don't know. Now this has been highlighted for him and he's just like, oh, I see. Just because I haven't seen it, it doesn't mean it's out there. I just haven't been exposed and now I can. And so, you know, and like one of the questions that comes up constantly on this show and other dating reality shows is like, well, is this person actually ready for marriage? And it's, you know, he's thinking about that for himself. I'm like, but how does somebody ever even decide if you're ready or not? And like what evaluation tools to use, I don't know.
Yeah. And if you think about like marriage in the past, I think current generations are putting so much more thought into it than ever before. And I think there's positives and negatives to it. And I think it's maybe kind of a personal thing. Like what is marriage to you? What do you want it to be? I think it is a very personal thing. And different people want different things from it, but the, are they ready? Are they mature enough? Like all of those things always really entertain me and get me thinking because I got married very young. I was 21 and I think back now and I'm like, oh my gosh, I would never recommend any 21-year-old get married. Like why, why would they do that? But also, I've been happily married now for 16 years. So it's like, well, it worked.
Right.
It has been working. And I think like we've just been willing to put in the work and and nurture the relationship and stay a team and stay on the same page. So I think a lot of the readiness is in, are the flaws of this person things that you're willing to live with forever or for as long as the relationship lasts? And are you ready to really be a team with this person? And I think that like that could be no at age 60 or yes at 20, you know? So yeah, I always wonder that. And I wonder, like, we don't know the inner workings of these people really. So it's hard to gauge that just from what they say and do.
Absolutely. Well, and I wonder too, is like, as you were talking and like talking about like how much more like resourced we are in this like more of a younger generation. I'm wondering if we'll start to see it in the future working against some people though, of like, oh, I have to do all this work before I can meet my person. And I have to be quote unquote, like a perfect, like ready person who has dealt with all of my things ahead of time. If that's going to be something that starts holding them back too, of like, oh, like forgetting that you can also heal in the community of, you know, your spouse and other humans and all of that. Like you don't have to go it alone. Cause I'm sure you see that a lot with your clients too, of like, well, I have to be ready before I can put myself out there in any way, shape or form.
Yeah, I think you're right. And yeah, thinking back on my whole experience, there was some ways that I had like grown and processed through some things, but had a lot of past experiences, childhood experiences, you know, relationships that I saw modeled as a child coming into marriage that were not healthy for a healthy marriage and, and not going to contribute to having a healthy marriage. So like there's been so much growth and processing and healing and all of that that I've had to do and have been able to do in a relationship because we have the dynamic where that's okay. It's okay for us to both be growing and changing.
Yeah. Well, and I think too, and they, you see this happening in both of these episodes, is people are really trying to figure out how they line up in terms of values and how they handle their finances and when they do or do not want to get pregnant and all of those things. So I think these are the first episodes we're actually seeing them going, oh, wait, this is almost, this is a reality. This is happening. Yeah. And like, where are you at on these things? And where are we probably, you know, possibly going to have fissures there? I mean, you see that with, like not to jump ahead too much, but like Amy and Johnny talk about that in terms of their money. And Johnny's just like, I want to retire early. I want to do this and that. And she's like, yeah, I like that. But also let's not forget to be present in the moment. and, you know, and I think it works for them. But if she was like, no, I'm a spender and I don't save any money and I'm actually in this crazy amount of debt, it possibly wouldn't have mattered how in love they were if they weren't willing to talk through it and figure out a strategy that would work for them. Because I'm like, love gets you so far.
Yes.
but there's more
to
it.
On the same page on a lot of things. Yeah. He felt very rigid to me in that conversation about the, like, I want to retire early, so I'm going to have this like super lean lifestyle. It seemed very much like, this is what I'm doing. Are you going to get on board with what I'm doing? And it seems like even with the pregnancy conversation that was kind of how it went. Like, his word was the word in their relationship. And I guess she's okay with it.
It was hard to tell because I felt like the storyline they were giving us with Amy and Johnny is, we're happy, we're in love, we have no problems or any fights. And we are basically the measuring stick as to which you can see how the other couples are doing. Like, it's like, okay, here's proxy for a good relationship and everyone else. But yeah, I wondered, it made me think, I wonder if Johnny's a part of like the FIRE community, like the financial independence, retire early, where it is very, very focused on the number, can be quite rigid, has people not living in the moment, thinking like, okay, when I'm retired, it might be at 34, then I will live. And for him, his number was 50. Yeah, I got that sense too, where he's like, yeah, but here's the plan I have in my head. I guess to me, I wondered if that was just maybe a symptom of like, I have been handling my own stuff and my money for so long, and I just haven't included somebody else in this before.
Yeah. And I think that is, from what I've seen with friends, acquaintances, that's a challenge that I have noticed in couples who have gotten married later than me, which was like right out of college, essentially. I think, you know, when you have already established your life and your way of doing things, instead of like, we're both new adults together, let's figure it out together, I think that there is like an adjustment period. And I think a lot of those things come out on this show.
Yeah. I think they come out a lot in the show. And I think like for them, and I think, were they the only couple that really talked a lot about money?
Yeah, I don't think I remember anybody else talking about money, which seemed weird because it's been such a big issue on other seasons.
Yeah. Yeah. That just occurs to me now because I know, yeah, it has been issues on other seasons. And I mean, they are about to approach something that, like, even if you keep it separate, you're still running in tandem with each other when it comes to money. If you're planning to live together and like merge in that way.
And like, even if you're technically keeping it separate, you're also not always, like, if you're buying a house together, you are now in a business transaction together. And I think it is a business transaction getting married in many ways. Even if that's not our primary thought about it, it's a reality of it.
Yeah, there's a contract involved. And I always appreciate when people say things like, you know what, like, if you don't create your own prenup, you get one from the state and they get to decide how your like contract works with your marriage.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, it's interesting. I don't know. There's maybe been one couple ever that talked about having a prenup or having any sort of agreement ahead of time. And have you ever heard
it? So weird. No, now that we're talking about it, I'm like, oh no, this is really worrying me about these people. Like, anybody who goes on this show should really make sure that they have a prenup, because I was thinking through, like, if you were going into a business partnership, if you were going to buy a large percentage, like if you're going to be buying 50% of somebody's business and becoming their 50-50 partner, you would be looking for, where's the profit and loss for every year of business? Tell me about the cash flow. Show me all the things. Do you have a business plan? And obviously, being a human and life, you know, is a little different, but they don't seem to talk about any of that. And
no,
maybe they just don't show it, but I wish they would, because it's real.
Well, I think, and this is what I like about kind of what you're talking about before, is like, mental health has been so normalized, you know, at an earlier age, and people have more access, but you don't hear the money conversations on these shows. And that's where I feel like a lot of people get held back in life, is because you just learn from your parents. And if they have their own trauma around money and their own way of doing things that doesn't support you as a human being, how you want to go on your own world. I mean, our, at least in the US, our culture is like very much just like, take on a pile of debt to go to school, take on debt to get everything that you want. And so like when they're taking on each other, which let's be honest, it's a whirlwind to get to the altar. I think they sign paperwork. If they both say yes, is that your understanding too?
Yeah. I think it's legally a real marriage if they both say yes. Yeah. It's alarming.
It's quite alarming. Yeah. I'm pretty sure half of them have not even considered it. I mean, they're probably so overwhelmed with all the other details. Like what's one more contract? It's not as crazy as the love is buying contract. So therefore.
That's true. It probably isn't.
No. So I don't know. I guess if there was one area I wish they would draw more as people just talking about that side of things, because I think it's a very normal thing in relationships that you would get into. And yet we just, as like a society, don't talk about it as a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like it gets talked about more in like the circles I've put myself in, but like growing up, I don't remember anybody really like, oh, this is how we as a couple talk about money in our marriage. No.
No. It feels like, I do wonder, like, is it a cultural thing that's changing, or is it just the communities that we're in that have that norm? I don't know.
Ooh. That's a good question. I mean, I imagine for you, like being like talking to business owners constantly,
talk about money every day.
I know I've already had at least one conversation with clients today about money, you know, about like how they think about money. So, but yeah, if you aren't in those worlds, it's like, we don't talk about salary, pretend you don't have debt, that kind of thing. I think that's it's really prominent, I guess, more in my traveling community since I travel full time in my RV. Mm-hmm. It's like we're with other younger nomads. And how do you make this lifestyle work is, you know, a constant question. So like the more open you are, the more helpful you can be to your peers. So, but yeah, if you're just, you know, living more, I guess, conventionally, maybe it wouldn't come up as much because it's just like, oh, this is just the norm. You just go to work and then you come home, that kind of thing. So, okay. I'm going to be thinking about this prenup thing well after this conversation. So it's up here. It's up here.
All these shows. That's all I'm going to think about.
Whereas Vanessa Lachey is like, when are you having babies? Chop, chop, chop. She's like, we haven't talked about that part. Well, what else? I mean, we've kind of quickly jumped away. Was there anything else with Clay and AD you wanted to make sure we talked about before we jump onto any other couples?
I think the main thing is there's been so much hate on Clay, and there really have been red flags with Clay, but I just am really rooting for him. Like, I want him to heal this and be okay. It seems like that's what he wants. And of course, AD is amazing. I feel like AD is the star of this season.
Yeah.
So I hope both of them are happy and healthy, whether it's together or not in the future. However that relationship ends up for them, I hope that they both are okay.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I would agree. I have loved AD through and through, like both when she's trying to navigate relationships, but also just her like friendships with the other cast members and how she just like calls people out and like says the most hilarious things. Like it's all good. But yeah, I mean, this is again why, I don't know, the internet, like poor Clay, like here is he generously sharing his story online and yet then you get the rest of it. But I mean, most of these people would not make the show if there wasn't at least one or two things that they would throw out as red flags. And so like, of course, those are going to be highlighted. Oh,
yes. Yeah. So those are my thoughts on them. I don't have as positive feelings about everyone on the cast.
Do tell.
You had made a little note about Jeremy and Laura, and I feel like we didn't see as much of them over these past two episodes. So I don't know that I was having as strong of a feeling towards him before I had seen all of the more current things, but I felt that there was even some weirdness in these episodes. Just like they had this fight where they had then, it seemed like, split up that night, and then they came back together to talk about it the next morning. And he, like, he at the end of it, I guess, then was just like, yeah, we're the strongest couple. Like, it just, it felt like, no, you said that you wanted to go home and seemed like you were pulling out of this, and now you're the strongest couple. Like, that, his whole approach in that conversation just really got all of my red flags flying and being like, something is just off here.
Yeah. There was a few couples that brought up were the top couple or were like the best, strongest couple here. I'm curious about why it's a competition. Who's evaluating how they decided. Like, I really just wanted to pull, I think it was Jeremy who, Jeremy who said that, him aside and be like, based on what? Like, like, what are you seeing that I'm not? Because I also see a lot of red flags in this. I feel like we didn't see the whole story there. It was hard for me to decide based on editing if there was a side I should take. I'm like, should I go with mom or dad here? Well, what did you think of that scene? Because they're sitting at the end of the pier. They're discussing the fight. I didn't really see that they actually talked it through. It was mostly like, I'm wrong. Let's get married.
It seemed like, you know, Laura had said something like, I have been so positive about our relationship and us moving forward, and now I'm not sure. And then it seemed like very quickly they were like, oh, we're good. And I couldn't figure out what had happened there. And I think you're right. It had to be things edited out. We did not see that full conversation because it didn't make sense. It actually even felt to me like something like they were on the verge of breaking up and then had a conversation about, well, let's just like go through the motions to get through this. But they didn't show that part in the middle. And then they just showed the going through the motions after, because it just like, it just didn't check out. Why are we okay now? Just because we decided to be okay? Like, there is no resolution.
No resolution. I mean, if they had stayed together, I was like, thinking to myself, oh, we're going to see variations on a theme of this fight over and over again, because it's not like they made amends and said, okay, please help me understand like your side of things. Let me understand where you're coming from. You know, here's, okay, I like really hear what you're saying. And, you know, I'm going to try to do better in X, Y, and Z specific way or whatever, like however somebody wants to work through it. But it was mostly just like, oh, we want to put forth a good face, so let's just shove this under the rug and carry on. If that's how it really went, I have a hard time just kind of observing what I have with Laura to believe that she would not go through something like that without a fight, like where she wouldn't be like, let's nitpick everything, or I don't know. But maybe for her, somebody just being like, I'm wrong, you're right, is enough for her to be like, okay, happy. But that doesn't resolve anything.
No, it doesn't seem like her at all. And even then later, like in the next episode, seeing his house and like the way that she was commenting about things, it was like, oh, his house actually is nice. I'm surprised, but it's clean in a serial killer kind of way, but in a good serial killer kind of way. To me, felt very much like she does not like this person anymore and is having a hard time not like outwardly showing disdain for him. That's how it felt to me. And then I was like, is she like that type of person who's just like pretty negative and nitpicky, or is she just done with him?
She was somebody where I was like, I think girl's done. Yeah. Like, I think she's done with him. I don't even think I got the sense that she was doing this to further any sort of career or anything, but I could be wrong about this. I haven't really scoped out any other social media. But I did think on her side, it was interesting to me how many things she was like, oh, and this is outlawed, like his Hawaiian shirts and the motorcycle and acting in particular ways.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to imagine if I was in a brand new relationship and somebody met me for the first time and they're also like, hey, I don't like these three things about you. Just don't do
That'd
it
be
anymore.
difficult. Yeah.
Good.
I would hate to receive it, but I also
Yeah.
remember like prior to these episodes when they were first at the resort and he was like just like really being goofy in the
Yeah.
pool and she was very obviously annoyed and was saying like you're an idiot or whatever
Yeah.
jokingly but also maybe not. I felt like I can relate to her in that situation because I would find that annoying. I would not be attracted to that person either. But I think I would have figured it out in the pods that this was like too much of a goofball for me. Like I want to
Yeah.
be the funny one. That is a step too far for me, that kind of personality. But I don't know. Like, I feel like people don't show up like a Hawaiian shirt motorcyclist without any warning in the pods, you know?
I mean, you see it with I mean, Chelsea nailed that. Trevor had a mullet. Like, how did she figure out she had a mullet? Well, because they've been talking for a while. I'm like, yeah,
Yeah.
you're absolutely right. She would have had to have seen some signs. And especially too, is she knew he was getting along very well with Sarah Ann, who's kind of a like chatty goofball herself. So it's like, you know, I know they do evaluate things based on the other partners that person has picked out as their top one and two. But it really seemed like maybe a situation where Laura had just kind of like in her mind going, okay, this is the person I think he is. And now I'm going to hold you to this fantasy person I have in my head. And
Yeah.
that person does not wear Hawaiian shirts or ride a motorcycle. So they can have one motorcycle.
Just one.
Just one, but just one. No, not more than that. But again, this is another area where I wish they would show people like working through actual issues, because I do think it would be illustrative to their audience member to go, oh, this is how you work through a problem. Oh,
Right. Yeah.
right.
And I think that's what makes me feel like they aren't actually working through it. They're just sweeping it under the rug to move on and get through things.
Yeah. Which I mean is just like a couple red flag, right? Like for a relationship, that is a red flag, because if you actually wanted it for the long haul, this might stand out to you as something that to pay attention to.
Yeah. And I wonder if they weren't on the show, would they have broken up so much earlier than like in the process than continuing to go through this? Like, would they just have like had the Hawaiian shirt and motorcycle conversation and be like, we're done?
Oh, totally. I mean, can you imagine them going on an actual face-to-face date? Even if they were set up in a blind date, they wouldn't have showed up
No.
for the first date.
They
He
wouldn't
would have
have gone
gotten
a
nervous.
second.
No. She would have just been like, nope.
She
Carry
wouldn't have
on.
stayed for dinner. Like she is for sure the type of person who's like, I meet up for coffee or drinks, not a meal, so that I can leave or stay, depending on how it goes. She would not have gone to
100%.
dinner. She
No.
would have had the drinks and then left.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I actually really loved the scene back in the women's quarter where she was talking about different way that she met men.
Oh
And
my
she's like, oh
gosh.
yeah. What was it like? Bumping into them at the grocery store was one option. Stare down at the bar.
Oh my
Don't
gosh.
remember the other
It
ones, but they
sounds
were
hard
pretty
to
funny.
date these days.
It does sound hard to date, but it was interesting to me to see some of like Ken and Brittany's conversations, because I thought Brittany in particular was good at like asking like really open-ended questions where she's like, I
Yeah.
really want to get to know this person. Tell me more about fill in the blank. And I noticed that about her for sure.
I loved watching their conversations. Although it started to take a turn on the first episode that we're talking about, and then obviously, you know, fell apart on the second
Yeah.
episode.
Yeah.
But it felt like they were on such a good track, and they were my favorite couple. They were my
Yeah.
top couple throughout the show until these two episodes, because I felt like they had a lot in common. They seemed like they were really good at talking through things. And then it kind of seemed like, well, maybe that was just her. Maybe it's just Brittany, who I
Yeah.
really, really admire. And Kenneth was along for the ride until he got his phone.
Maybe so. Well, it does make me think like, you know, they of all the couples seem like they're still possibly in evaluation mode. Like, is this still the person for me? Am I, you know, like, and it's okay if they're not. but let's ask the types of questions that we need to ask to see if we're there. And again, you might be right. It might have been her communication style, Brittany's communication style that like made me think that way. But yeah, a lot of her questions were open. You had mentioned before Kenneth and AD had a conversation about like, okay, if you guys have kids, like, is she going to be prepared to raise a Black child? Like, you know, and it seemed like we saw a snippet of that on the show. But my guess is that they had conversations about it off camera about how that would all, like, how it would go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would think that they would. And it sounded like this was not her first time dating a Black man. Like, she has very much had these thoughts and feels up for that. And it seemed to me that she wasn't like, oh, that's irrelevant. It's totally going to be fine. It sounded like she was like, yeah, I want to hear your concerns. And I know that there will be challenges, but I'm also here for it. I don't know. I felt like it was just a really well-handled conversation on her part.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I did see like some of that happening in the show. I can't even remember any examples right now where somebody would be like, I feel like this, or like, I feel afraid. And to learn more about the other person, you might be like, well, tell me more about what you're feeling afraid about. And a lot of times what you would be like, you'd see, which is totally fine, is oh yeah, me too. And then carry on. But it's like, but maybe you're not the same in your fears. Maybe you're not the same in the way that you feel. And you could learn a lot more about that person if you ask, like, okay, well, tell me more about how you're feeling and why.
Yeah. Yeah. It was interesting. And this was another one where I thought, did Kenneth not really think in the pods, like think through, do I really want to marry a white woman? Or was he just like in the moment going through it? Because it seemed like that really shook him.
Yeah.
When AD brought it up, and I was thinking, really? Like, you didn't think about that before? I don't know. I feel like if that's a deal breaker, you should come into it thinking about
it. Well, maybe again, it's one of those situations where he didn't know what he didn't know. Like, maybe he really thought, like, love is truly blind, sight unseen, all good.
So true.
But maybe like Clay, it's like, oh, okay, now that this is in front of me and I'm evaluating from the reality of what's in front of me, maybe this isn't going to work for me. Maybe I'm not ready for this. Maybe it would be down the road, but right now, the place I am in my life, he seems very career focused to me. And, you know, obviously being in a relationship with somebody like Brittany, she wants his attention. And it just wasn't like, it was almost like he didn't have the capacity for that either.
Yeah. And I guess this is something that I noticed that to me felt like a Brittany flaw is maybe we didn't ever see it. We weren't shown it, but it seemed like she never outright had a conversation about the phone from any perspective other than like feeling like frustrated and like stomping around a little bit or being like, don't be on your phone so much. Like, there was no like, hey, since we've been back, you've been on your phone a lot. And I understand that you've missed several weeks of work and you have a really important job and you have a lot to catch up on. But I also feel like I'm not seen right now. Like, how can we come to a resolution with this where you're able to get what you need and fulfill your obligations with your job, but also our relationship is healthy? It felt like she didn't ever approach it that way. So it made me wonder, like, is he even aware that she's feeling that way? Or is he just like so engrossed in what he's doing? And in his mind, he's like, well, this is my work. These people depend on me. And all I get from you is some nagging or like stomping around sometimes. Like, I'm trying to work. Don't you respect that? And it felt like there was just like not a communication about that at all between them.
Yeah, that is such a good point because they didn't bring it up. It was very clear from her behavior. She did not like that.
Yeah.
Not at all.
We saw it. We were reading for signs.
We saw it. Yeah, we're like, we see you, girl. Like, we got that. I wonder if it was one of those things where she just kind of thought he should know. And he did not know. And I think it's easy to be in that space because I've definitely done this too, where I'm like, oh, because it's work and I'm not just scrolling Instagram, who knows what he was up to, but because it's work, it's justified. It's just as important as you, or, you know, at times takes priority. It happens. But yeah, that type of conversation probably would have been enlightening for her to be like, oh, this is how you think about phone use. Do you think it also could have been like, maybe he was already checked out at that point, or it just trying to,
yeah, I mean, he seemed like he was kind of checked out.
Yeah. She's intuitive. She was already like, how come you're not touching me? Like, what's up? What's up with that?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it could have been an escape for him, because I know, you know, even if it is legitimate work on the phone, it's very easy to turn to that to check out if there's other stuff going on that you don't want to be engaged with or be thinking about. So I could see that.
Yeah. Not related to show, but like, how have you managed this in your own life? Because obviously, you know, you run your own business, and, you know, like, you work with a lot of business owners. Like, how do you help people navigate that kind of space of like being on and off?
Yeah, this comes up so much. It hasn't come up as much in my relationship. My husband's just kind of like, you know, whatever you need to do to make the business work, you do. I have no problems with any of it, which is very nice that it just allows me to figure out what are the boundaries that I want to have. But with clients, that is very much an issue. Like, I've had a lot of, I work almost exclusively with women, and there have been a lot of them who are like, my husband really gets irritated if I'm on my phone, like, ever at all. And it's like, okay, well, there has to be some kind of give and take. If you are building your business from your phone, there is time needed on the computer or on the phone or whatever screen. So encouraging them to have that kind of a conversation, like the flip side of that conversation that I had talked about that Brittany should have had, as far as like, here's what I'm doing on the phone, and here's why this is important to me. And also, I want to make sure that you're seen and our relationship is healthy, and let's talk about how we can have a balance. For me personally, I really like to have set work hours and then like a routine of like leaving the office and closing the door. And there's quite a few apps work related that I don't have on my phone, so I'm not checking in and I'm not obsessing.
Oh, that's smart.
I also feel like now I've been in my business for long enough that I really want an escape from it at the end of the day. And so I really seek that out. And sometimes I'll do a quick check-in and not stress about it. I pay attention to how I'm feeling. And if it feels like, oh, I have to do it, even though it's after hours, or like I have this urge to check out of whatever's going on and be engrossed in this instead, that to me is the red flag. If it's just like a, oh, I have a little downtime and I'm going to scroll a little bit and, oh, I'm going to chat with this person, like, that to me is fine. So I I try to be relaxed about it, but also really respectful of family and not being on my phone, you know, at like family dinner, family event, holidays, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And I wonder if it's just, I think Ken's like 25 and like, maybe it's just like grew up with a phone, where it's just like, oh, this is just an extension of my body. So it is fine. And I just like, I think about that sometimes because I don't think I got my first phone until, I don't know, maybe I started using one more consistently when I was like 29 or 30, you know, like it was later days. And so like, it wasn't something that like, I was like, oh, I have one at 12 or whatever age kids get phones these days. I don't know. It's like, I wonder, I mean, I'm guessing, I'm hoping, let me just say this actually, I'm hoping that in watching the show and the edits that he got around his phone, I'm sure he is not alone in that practice. I think he just got that edit. It would be a moment to be like, oh, I can see how this impacts things.
Yeah.
Maybe, maybe not.
And he seems to me introspective enough that I bet watching it back, he felt that and was like, oh, okay, I can see it through somebody else's eyes.
Yeah. And if he's not introspective enough, he is enough of a person that seems to care about what other people think about him that he might be like, okay, well, I'm not going to do this because I don't want them to think this about me. And it might be coming from a more negative place, but he
Yeah,
does seem
whatever
to
it
like to
takes.
curate how he's seen. Whatever it takes, Ken. Well, we're getting kind of to the end here. Is there anything else that we must talk about
Oh
before we
my
wrap up for
gosh.
the day?
We
I know
have
there's
to
so
talk
much.
about Chelsea and Jimmy
No.
and the clingy comment.
No, I. What did you think about this scene?
This is terrible.
Yeah,
My
right?
the thing that like really set me off was after calling her clingy, and then she was like, seriously, like I watched your show with you, made you dinner, then we went upstairs and had sex. And he was like, well, I didn't even, you were the one who wanted to have sex. Like, that is the most offensive thing. That would be a deal breaker. Like, if that happened to me, I would be like, you get zero sex for the rest of your life from me. Goodbye. Never again do you touch me. So, I just had like such a strong reaction watching it. I was
Yeah.
like, wow, this is clearly like a hot button issue for me.
We were watching the show with a bunch of people, and I'm pretty sure at that point we were all like, whoa, like Jimmy, no, Jimmy, no. And it was funny because you could almost see that he was trying to choose his words carefully, and then it just went off the cliff. Was like, oh, we don't say this. Yeah, I mean, I think their conversations in particular, when we talk about people having conversations and not having healthy disagreements or arguments, I was like, there's no editing that could lead me to believe this was an editing issue.
No. I think like they just genuinely are like on totally different pages, and it's been weird for me, like especially that particular conversation, then seeing so much hate of Chelsea online
Yeah.
and me being like, seriously, Jimmy is no angel. Like, what is happening? And I think for me, looking at Chelsea, I see so much anxious attachment. Like, her
Yes.
attachment style is on display so loud and clear. Like, she could be in a textbook about attachment styles. It's so obvious. And like, we know that is not behavior you choose because you're a terrible, manipulative person. Like, Chelsea got programmed with that
Yeah.
from her past, you know, like whatever happened with her, we know there was some rough things that now
Yes.
have her showing up this way in relationships and feeling like maybe sometimes clingy because she needs to get
Yeah.
that validation and to feel safe in the relationship. And it just, like it definitely, you know, she has a lot of blame in their dynamic, but I felt like my heart really went out to her because I could just see the patterns.
Yeah, I think that's I would I have seen a lot of people online going, oh, okay, here's an example, everyone, of the anxious attachment style. Yeah, it really seemed to me like after they met, like again, another couple where if they maybe went on one date would have been like, yeah, that was fun. Not again, not doing that one again. But now they're in this. Jimmy has a strong belief that once you say I love you stay with it. And wow. Yeah. And I just think like what they bring out of each other, like I think somebody could be in a relationship with one person that's anxious attachment style where they figure it out and they can heal their relationship, right? I don't think they're doing that for each other. They would have to maybe, I think, go to some sort of couple therapy or figure out language and how to speak to each other in order to move forward. I just don't think they're invested in each other in that way to lead to that result.
And I kind of think like if it's that hard in the first few
Yes.
weeks that you know each other, maybe you're not meant to be. Like there's people that it could just be easier with, not that you wouldn't need to work things out or go to
Yeah.
therapy, but like when it's that hard, I think it's telling you something.
I agree with that. I remember watching some group coaching a long time ago where they're like, you know, if you're early days and you're having to coach yourself like more than like, you know, a certain percentage of time, they're like, you know, pretty much at that stage, you should be like 85% good, 15% your own, whatever you're bringing to it, the insecurities or whatever. But like 85% of the time, you should probably be pretty good.
Yeah, and they're the opposite.
Opposite. It's like 15% of the time is good, and that's what they're holding strong to.
Yeah. And even when her friends came over and she was telling them about the experience, she was describing Trevor in this amazing way. And then her friends were confused. Like, wait, that's not the guy you pick? Right.
That's what I picked up on that too. I was like, interesting. Interesting. Yeah. Oh man. I agree with you though, that Jimmy should have been getting some more heat online, because I mean, they were both in this together for sure. But nobody deserves the death threats, the hate, all the things. Like,
yes, I wish that could just not be a thing. It's
I know.
So awful.
It's so awful. Well, there's so much on them as they go through the season, of course, but we'll maybe leave it there for today since we're at time, and I know we could talk more crazy stuff.
We could. We just need to cut ourselves off.
We're cutting ourselves off. Well, Samantha, if somebody wanted to find you online, where would they go looking?
Yeah, there's a few places. So I have a free Facebook group called Online Business Building Women. So they can look there. Come listen to my podcast, Simple Online Business. I am also on Instagram at Samantha Siffring. And recently I've been very into threads. So if anybody listening is also into threads, come connect with me there too.
Wow. That feels like a blast from the past, even though it just happened, like in the last, what, 6 months or something. I'm like, wow, that's so like retro of you.
Well, I think it feels like very early Twitter or something. Yeah. So it's like, it is a blast from the past, and it's kind of like a secret hideaway still. Ooh. Like it feels just kind of like quieter over there. Although there's been a few, you know, weird things that I've seen, but I just like hide, mute, go away. But I've had a lot of Love is Blind conversations there.
Ooh, okay. Well, maybe you're turning back onto it. I'll have all of those links in the show notes. And then you mentioned your new book at the top of the show. So we'll have a link in that too. Well, thank you so much for coming on. It was so nice to get to know you in this context. Absolutely. Yeah. So fun. And thank you again.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening. This podcast is produced by Josh Jones. Our theme music is by David Delaney of the Whiskey Boys. You can find him at whiskeyboys.com or click the link in the show notes. If you like what you've heard today, share this podcast with a friend.